Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, July 20th, 2023, 1 John.
All right, first thing first. Tomorrow, Friday, is Shelby's birthday. Happy birthday to Shelby. Her mom, Irene, is going to keep her present. No, give it to her. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom. Freedom that you've given to us to assemble in the sound Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, start the corrected translation with verse 1. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every, and the Greek word here is pneuma, which is the word for spirit. Now this is very special use of the word spirit. It refers to people who are influenced by spirits. And you have sound doctrinal Bible teachers influenced by God the Holy Spirit, and you have false teachers influenced by demons. Now here is a mandate. Stop believing any and every pneuma, influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God. But analyze the spirits. Test them. There are counterfeits out there, and there are genuine. And you must distinguish between the genuine communicators, sound doctrinal Bible teachers, and the counterfeits, the false teachers. So analyze the spirits, the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. Now this is how the Spirit of God is recognized. In other words, you can tell if this communicator is influenced by God the Holy Spirit. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is from God. In the day of John, the problem was Gnostics and Gnosticism, and they denied the deity of Christ. They denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. They denied the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. But the sound doctrinal Bible teachers teach the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God and his hypostatic union. Verse 3. But every persuasive speaker, every pneuma, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, that is, Orthodox Christology and soteriology, he absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom you have heard that he, the Antichrist in the tribulation period, he is coming. John has taught eschatological doctrine. He's taught them all about the tribulation. But now he says, but now, in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now in the church age. Now the word Antichrist, it's a transliteration, Antichristos. Looks like this in the Greek, Antichristos. Antichristos. It's actually a compound word, anti, which means against, and Christos, transliterated Christ. Christos is literally the anointed one, equivalent to the Hebrew Mashiach, Messiah. Against Christ. So when you see the word Antichrist, it means against Christ. And therefore, an Antichrist is someone who is against the Lord. Now, right now in the church age, Antichrist refers to any believer who lives and functions in Satan's cosmic system. And therefore, Antichrist is synonymous with being the enemy of the cross, Philippians 3:18, the enemy of God, James 4:4, a hater of God, John 15:23 to 25. These believers are called Antichrist all throughout 1 John and in 2 John. 1 John 2:18, 1 John 2:22, our verse 1 John 4:3, and coming up in 2 John verse 7. In these last days that we find ourselves in, Satan, who is the ruler of planet Earth, he has shifted gears right before our eyes. And he is going full speed ahead to prepare this world for his man. Who is coming? His man that's coming is the Antichrist who is coming in the tribulation. And he's preparing the world for his man in the tribulation. Right now in the church age, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are being used by Satan to prepare the way for his man, the Antichrist of the tribulation. And these false teachers today include politicians, socialists, Marxists, liberals, religious leaders. Right now, the spirit of Antichrist, his false teachers, are promoting globalism, which will eventually culminate in a one world government in the tribulation period. And this globalism includes political internationalism, religious internationalism, and economic internationalism. And today, all the necessary physical components that would make a one world government possible, they have emerged. They are here, including instant communication around the globe. And this is an absolute necessity for a one world government to operate and to maintain its power. This is instant communication is possible because of satellites, computers, iPads, iPhone, television, radio, internet devices, artificial intelligence. Also, rapid transportation is another necessity that is now available, and this includes the rapid development and deployment of troops anywhere in the world. And also, supercomputers. We now have supercomputers, which bind the world together with electronic data, essential for a one-world government to be feasible, and this includes artificial intelligence. Before this kind of technology was developed, many people questioned the prophecy concerning the Great Tribulation, found in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. In that passage declares that the one world ruler, the Antichrist, will require everyone on planet Earth to receive the mark of the beast before they will be allowed to buy or to sell anything. To receive such a mark, the people would have to recognize the world ruler as God. Now thousands will refuse to do this, and Revelation 20 verse 4 says they will be beheaded, martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. And at the second advent of Christ, they will be resurrected and will reign with Christ for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. That's also Revelation 20, verse 4. So there is no doubt that with today's technology, a one world ruler who is in total control would have the ability to keep a continually updated census of all living persons and know day by day precisely which people had pledged their allegiance to him and had received the mark, as well as all those who had not. So today, as we speak, all the necessary physical components that would make a one-world government possible, they're here right now. Instant communication worldwide, rapid transportation, satellite technology, supercomputers, artificial intelligence, destructive missiles can be accurately delivered to anywhere in the world in 30 minutes. All of this is here today. All these facts add up to the conclusion that the world stage is now set for the final act. The world is only waiting for the conclusion of the church age. It's waiting for the rapture of the church. When the rapture of the church takes place, the church age is over. Now the tribulation period begins, and Satan's man, the Antichrist, will come on the scene. Therefore, this globalism includes political internationalism, one world government, and the Antichrist, economic internationalism, one world currency, religious internationalism, there will be an ecumenical religious system that will be worldwide. Now, we started to take a look at this religious internationalism, ecumenical religion, last time. And when we ended last week, we had reached point 11. And we have already studied about this ecumenical religious system of the tribulation that is described in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. It is called the Great Prostitute in Revelation 17 verse 1, and it's called the Mother of Prostitutes in Revelation 17 verse 5. This false religious system is unfaithful to the Lord, and therefore it has the title of a prostitute. This ecumenical religious system is totally evil, totally satanic, filled with abominable things, Revelation 17, verse 4, filled with the filth of her adulteries, Revelation 17, 4, filled with the abominations of the earth, Revelation 17, verse 5. And this ecumenical religious system will be a worldwide religious system, comparing Revelation 17:1 with Revelation 17 verse 15. This is the same worldwide influence and control that the Antichrist will have, Revelation 13 verses 7 and 8. Therefore, both the Antichrist and the great prostitute, ecumenical religion, they both embrace the same geographical territory. They bring the whole world under their influence and control. In Revelation 17, verse 2, the kings of the earth have been joined to her ecumenical religion and have become one with her in her whole worldwide religious system. In Revelation 17, verse 3, this great prostitute, this ecumenical religious system, sits on the beast. The beast is the Antichrist. For the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, this great ecumenical religious system is in authority over the Antichrist. In the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the writer, ecumenical religion, will actually control the Antichrist. In the first half of the tribulation, the beast, the Antichrist, is subjugated to the authority of the writer, and the writer is the great prostitute, ecumenical religion. This apostate religious system will persecute and attempt to kill all who believe in Jesus Christ and all who follow the grace and truth of God's Word, Revelation 17, verse 6. And as the Apostle John is writing Revelation, at this point, he just can't believe it. He's absolutely, totally astonished. How could this false, satanic religious system, so evil, so corrupt, so totally in contradiction of the Lord Jesus Christ and the God-breathed scriptures, how could this religious system, which is such a persecutor of the saints of God, how could this system deceive the hearts and the minds of people all over the world? That is what John is saying. How could this great prostitute, this ecumenical religious system, have such influence and control over everyone in the world? This worldwide ecumenical religious system will come under the divine judgment of the living and true God. And then we just got started in point 11. That point 11 is the end of this ecumenical religious system. And that is found in Revelation 17, 15 to 18. We've studied the first seven subpoints of that, but let's turn over to Revelation 17, verse 15. Revelation 17, verse 15. And this is the end of this ecumenical religious system. It will be destroyed. In fact, as we see in this passage, how do you describe a nuclear explosion in the time of John? Well, it's described here perfectly. Revelation 17, verse 15. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute ecumenical religion sits are the peoples, the multitudes, the nations, and languages." It's a worldwide religious system. Verse 16. The beast, that's the Antichrist, and the ten horns, that's the revived Roman Empire, that you saw, they will hate the prostitute. They hate. The Antichrist hates this ecumenical religious system because he has been subjugated. This system is the rider riding the beast. So the Antichrist and the revived Roman Empire will hate this ecumenical religious system, and they will bring her to ruin and leave her naked, and they will, now listen, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. It is well documented that when the atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, that this is exactly what happened. The people would be standing there and the flesh would be taken right off their bones while they were standing. And by the heat and the fire of that nuclear explosion, that's exactly what John is describing here. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That is, she will be nuked. For God has put it in their hearts. God has put it in the hearts of the Antichrist, revived Roman Empire, to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast, the Antichrist, their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw in the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. Now we noted underneath point 11, the end of the ecumenical religious system, we have studied 7 points. Point 1, the beast, which is the Antichrist, and the ten horns, the revived Roman Empire, will hate the prostitute ecumenical religion. 2, the question is, why do they hate her? Well, it's obvious. Because they are under her control. The great prostitute, ecumenical religion, is sitting on the beast, the Antichrist. Revelation 17, verse 3. 3, they will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. This is describing a nuclear attack. Revelation 17, verse 16. So this ecumenical religious system will be nuked by the Antichrist. 4, God has put it in their hearts, the Antichrist and revived Roman Empire, to fulfill his will, Revelation 17, 17. 5, God is going to allow this satanic religious system to continue until it has gotten a stranglehold on the entire world. 6, then God is going to move all these puppets who are subservient to it to rise up and destroy it. All these puppets, the Antichrist and the revived Roman Empire, they are the ones that the ecumenical religious system, the great prostitute, is riding. So then God is going to move all these puppets, Antichrist, revived Roman Empire, who are subservient. They have been ridden by the ecumenical religious system. They will rise up and destroy it because they hate it. 7, this will take place right in the halfway point of the tribulation. For the first 3.5 years, yes, ecumenical religious system rides the Antichrist, the beast. But right in the middle, he hates this religious system and will nuke it. Now that brings us to subpoint 8. Then this will clear the way so that now the beast, the Antichrist, can come to world power and worldwide authority. Then this will clear the way so that the beast, the Antichrist, can come to world power and worldwide authority. 9. Now the Antichrist will rule over every tribe, every people, every language, every nation, and he will do so by Satan's power. Now the Antichrist, right at the middle of the tribulation, the 3.5 year mark, now the Antichrist will rule over every tribe, every people, every language, every nation by Satan's power. 10. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist will go into the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself to be God. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist will go into the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself to be God. And he will demand that the world must worship him as God. So right in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist will go into the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself to be God, and will demand that the world must worship him as God. 11. This is the abomination that causes desolation. This is the abomination that causes desolation. We have it prophesied in the Old Testament in Daniel, and then presented in the New Testament. Turn over to Daniel. Daniel 9. Daniel 9, verse 27. Daniel 9:27. It starts out and says, He is the Antichrist, and the Antichrist will confirm a covenant. He'll make a peace treaty with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation. He will make a peace treaty with Israel for 1/7, for 7 years, the tribulation period. in the middle of the seven, right in the middle, 3.5 year point, he will put an end. He will go to the temple in Jerusalem. He will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. That's the prophecy, Daniel 9:27. Now the Lord Jesus Christ holds a Bible class about that in Matthew 24. So turn over to Matthew 24. And in Matthew 24, Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and he was asked a question in Matthew 24, verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming, the second advent, and of the end of the age?" Well, we'll start at verse 15. Jesus says, "So when you see standing in the holy place," this is the temple in Jerusalem, "the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. You don't have time. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. You don't have time. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation." This is the last 3.5 years. "Then there will be great tribulation, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." The last 3.5 years. The ecumenical religious system has been nuked. And now the Antichrist comes to Jerusalem, goes into the temple, and declares himself to be God. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 3, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come," that is the tribulation, the day of the Lord. They're talking about that there were a lot of false teachers saying that the day of the Lord was already there, and it's not. He says, "Don't let anyone deceive you that we're already in the day of the Lord in any way, for that day, the day of the Lord, the tribulation, second advent, millennium, that will not, for that day will not come until," and then we have the word apostasia. A-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-A, apostasia. Now, it's been transliterated apostasy. But it means there will be great apostasy and degeneracy at the end of the church age and right before the tribulation. But that is included. But it means also departure and refers to the rapture. To the rapture. "For that day will not come until the rapture occurs. And then the man of lawlessness will be revealed after the rapture occurs." the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple and proclaiming himself to be God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. Now the world stage is set for the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, first of all, he comes back as the greatest soldier of all time. He comes back in great military glory. He comes back. How long will the second advent take place? Well, it says every eye will see him. And it will take one day for this earth to circle all around, and everyone on planet earth will see the Lord Jesus Christ return at the second advent. He will return with great military glory, the greatest soldier of all time. He will return with great condemnation and judgment. He will bring judgment on the Antichrist, judgment on the false prophet, and judgment on every single unbeliever living on planet Earth. They will all be killed and removed from the earth. Secondly, he will then establish his millennial kingdom. And the millennial kingdom begins with believers only. Every single unbeliever has been judged, killed, removed from the earth, and the millennial kingdom begins with believers only. Now that's just the opposite of the tribulation. What's the end of the church age? The rapture. What happens at the rapture? Every believer is removed from the earth. The only people left on the earth are unbelievers. So the tribulation begins with unbelievers only. The millennial kingdom begins with believers only. 3. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns at the second advent, will rescue the remnant of believers who have survived the great tribulation. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, he will rescue the remnant of believers who have survived the tribulation. And then, 4, he will establish his kingdom on earth. And he will rule. Jesus Christ will rule planet Earth for 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years will have perfect environment. Perfect air. Perfect water. Perfect food. Perfect environment. And there will be world peace. There won't even be any military, no army, no navy, no Marine Corps, no Air Force, no Coast Guard. There will be no military at all, no necessary, because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, has returned, and there is world peace for 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ is ruling planet Earth with perfect righteousness and justice. There is perfect government. And also there is economic prosperity. Economic prosperity. And great physical health and prosperity. In fact, many people will live the entire 1,000 years. They will live to be 1,000 years old. Now, it's interesting, the Bible says that they only live to be about 300 years old, then they're a criminal. they committed some capital crime and they had to be executed. But otherwise, people will live the entire 1,000 years. That's the millennial kingdom. So you see, all these lies about global warming, climate change, and we got to save the world. What is that all about? It's preparing the way for the Antichrist in the tribulation. It's giving power to a few to rule planet Earth and dictate planet Earth. It's evil, it's satanic, it's simply setting things up for the Antichrist. All right. So, 1 John 4, 1 through 3 again. Beloved ones, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the spirits, the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Because many false teachers have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. Now this is how the Spirit of God is recognized. He influences every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. He teaches the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God and His hypostatic union. But every persuasive speaker, false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, orthodox Christology and soteriology, he absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom you have heard that he is coming in the tribulation, and John taught an eschatological doctrine about the tribulation and the Antichrist. But right now, in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. So they keep on being in the world right now. Now that brings us to 1 John 4:4, and what a great promise in 1 John 4:4. It starts out, ye are of God, little children. This is the nominative plural of the personal pronoun su, plus the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi, plus the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive singular of theos, with the definite article, plus the vocative plural of technion. Now the Apostle John uses the nominative plural of the personal pronoun soon. And you've been here, most of you, enough times to know that you don't have to have any personal pronouns. The verbs have all the subject in that, in the verb itself. So when God the Holy Spirit has the Apostle use a personal pronoun, it's for a very emphatic and special purpose. So, one, by using the personal pronoun su, John is putting the spotlight on you. Su is you. Now, who is you? Who does you refer to? Two. You refers to the winner believers. The winner believers living the spiritual life. I hope you refers to you, all of you. Winner believers living the spiritual life. Three, you refers to those spiritually mature believers who have advanced to maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. You refer to those mature believers who have had virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Four, you refers to those spiritually mature believers who have overcome the world. This is who he is addressing in verse 4. See, the last half of verse 4 says, and you have overcome them. So the you refers to those spiritually mature believers who have overcome the world. Five, you refers to those spiritually mature believers who have cleared the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Now, that includes providential preventative suffering, momentum testing, and evidence testing. In our passage, the emphasis is especially on people testing and false teachers. So you refer to those spiritually mature believers who have cleared the hurdles of suffering for blessing. The emphasis here is on momentum testing, especially people testing, and false teachers. And this should be translated, you and only you, winner believers, spiritually mature believers, those who recognize sound doctrinal teachers influenced by God the Holy Spirit. You and only you. And then the to-be verb, eimi. E-I-M-I, eimi. We translate it are. The present tense is the progressive present. The action is presented as actually being in progress in present time at the time that John is speaking. The active voice, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advancing to maturity, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, they are the ones performing the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this as reality, certainty, and fact. And then we have the preposition ek plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Ek plus theos. Ek from theos God. And from God means these, again, he's emphasizing those who are students of the Word of God, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You and only you, believers living the spiritual life, are from God and have overcome the world and the false teachers and the momentum testing. You have passed the hurdle. You've cleared the hurdles. You and only you, believers living the spiritual life, are from God. And then we have technion. T-E-K-N-I-O-N. Technion. Now, technion in the New Testament is only found in the vocative. This is the vocative of address. When the Lord Jesus Christ used technion, it was to address his disciples. The Apostle John uses technion to address those members of his congregation, a special category in his congregation. Not everybody in his congregation, but a special category. Those members of his congregation who have teachability. If you're not teachable, well, then that's a problem that you have to deal with in your own life. If you're not teachable, you always think you know more than everybody else. And John had some of those people in his congregation, but what he's addressing here in technion, These are students under authority. Students of the Word of God under authority. They have teachability. They have positive volition. They have humility. And because they have positive volition and humility, they have respect for the authority of God. They have respect for the authority of the Word of God. They have respect for the pastor who teaches the Word of God. They're teachable. That's who technion refers to specifically. As a result of this, they have God's problem-solving devices in their heart, and they have cleared the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Specifically here, momentum testing. They have passed people testing. They have distinguished sound doctrinal Bible teachers from false teachers. So the corrected translation, you and only you, believers living the spiritual life, are from God, dear children, students under authority. And now we know, we have an explanation about this special category. This special category, students under authority, students with teachability, positive volition, humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. You have overcome them. This is the conjunction chi plus the perfect active indicative of nikao plus the accusative plural masculine of autos. The conjunction chi is a connective chi and correctly translated and. And then we have a great verb. Love this verb. Nikao. N-I-K-A long O. Nikao. Couple of things on this verb. First of all, as an intransitive verb, it means to be the victor. It means to prevail. It means to conquer. You see, this is something that only the winner believer accomplishes. Unfortunately, we have a lot of believers that are not winner believers, and they are not the victor. They don't prevail. They don't conquer the world, the cosmic system, the false teachers. Two, from this verb nikao comes a noun. Nike, N-I-K long E. And I cannot look at nikao and nike without going all the way back to Washington State University, being on the track team at Washington State, and we were, at that time it was the Pac-8, and one of our top rivalries was the University of Oregon in Eugene. And my coach, Jack Mooberry, was a very, very good friend of Bill Bowerman at the University of Oregon. They were great friends. Coach Mooberry's wife, Gwen Mooberry, always went with us. And Jack and Gwen would go out to dinner with Bill Bowerman and his wife before the track meet. They were great friends, but also Coach Mooberry wanted to beat them very, very badly. Well, it was Bill Bowerman who developed a track shoe and then apparel that went with it, and they named it Nike. And so any of you in sports, you probably know you can get athletic equipment, Nike track shoes, Nike football shoes, Nike apparel. Well, that was from Bill Bowerman and University of Oregon. Three, as a transitive verb, nikao, And that's what we have here. We have nikao as a transitive verb. Then it means to conquer. To conquer, to overcome, to vanquish. Four, winner believers. Winner believers living the spiritual life have conquered, have overcome, have vanquished them. That's the accusative plural masculine of the intensive pronoun autos, used as a third person personal pronoun. Winner believers living the spiritual life have conquered, overcome, vanquished them. Now, we need to know who is them. Five. Winner believers have conquered, overcome them, the false teachers, and their false teaching, the spirit of Antichrist that we had in verse 3. They have conquered and overcome them, the false teachers, their false teaching, the spirit of Antichrist that we studied in verse 3. Six, they have cleared all the hurdles of momentum testing, especially people testing. That's what we're looking at here. Distinguishing sound doctrinal teachers, those influenced by God the Holy Spirit, from false teachers, those influenced by demons. And right now we have more false teachers in the world than anything else, preparing the way for Satan's man, the Antichrist, in the tribulation. Everything is set up. It's just waiting for the rapture to take place. So they have cleared all the hurdles of momentum testing, especially people testing, distinguishing sound doctrinal Bible teachers from false teachers. Seven. John is referring specifically to the people testing from the Gnostics in his day. He's referring specifically to the people testing from the Gnostics in his day and their false teaching and the spirit of Antichrist in his day. So John is referring specifically to the people testing from the Gnostics in his day and their false teaching and the spirit of Antichrist in his day. Eight, as a result of clearing these hurdles of people testing, they have accelerated their spiritual growth and spiritual momentum, resulting in virtue love brought to completion in their heart. As a result of clearing these hurdles of people testing, they have accelerated their spiritual growth and spiritual momentum, resulting in virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, motivating impersonal love for all, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. So this verse, it's a very powerful verse. You and only you, winner believers living the spiritual life, are from God. Dear children, students under authority, teachable, positive volition, humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the communicator of it. And you have overcome them. You have cleared the hurdles of people testing, the false teachers, the spirit of the Antichrist that is so prevalent in our day, so prevalent in our day in America and around the world. And then the last part, well, we're not going to exegete it all tonight, but let me give it to you. Because greater is He who is in you. And that includes the indwelling of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, that makes your body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of God the Father. All three members of the Trinity indwell your body. Because greater is He who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world, Satan. What a phenomenal promise of the Word of God. Well, we'll look at that in great detail next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.